pick it up right at the end of Stating the Obvious 187. So if you did not listen to 187, you might want to do that. We're going to continue. I'm going to talk about some more books. One more book, and I'm going to talk about some television and movies. I'm going to whine about statist. And I'm going to talk about how fantastic anarcho-capitalism is, because that's what I do. Then I'm going to be drinking my martini. Still the same one. Been nursing it. You can scream or shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. Shove your opinion right up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Oh, yes. The rain has come and gone here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. I really want to go outside and take a walk because I need the exercise. It's been on my ass all day. This is a Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect. The cruise missile that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. It's a nuclear-tipped cruise missile. It is powered by the nuclear fission that takes place inside my mind because there's so much power in there. Oh, if we could hook up generators, if we could use the power that comes from my brain to heat steam, to turn turbines, to generate electricity, we could power New York City long enough for somebody to nuke it and put all the scum in New York City out of their fucking misery. Because I don't know anything in New York City that's worth saving. God, what a fucking cesspool of shit. All right. I really don't feel like doing the intro spiel two times in one day, even though these podcasts are coming out on different days. Fucking deal with it. I am the Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, not the Optimistic Libertarian Society, the fucking Cynical Libertarian Society. And by libertarian, I don't mean Republican. I mean motherfucking hardcore anarcho-capitalist. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. You can send us email to god@cynlibsoc.com. You can find us on the interwebs at cynlibsoc.com. And we are on YouTube, of course, and we are on Stitcher. And give us your fucking bitcoins, you motherfuckers. And fuck Hussein Obama. And what else was I going to say? I was going to say something else. God damn it, I hate when my brain stops working. I don't know, but I'm sure it was going to be important. Whatever. What are you talking? Shush, woman. Just shush. Remember, women should be seen, not heard. That's why you're on the other side of soundproof glass. Okay? Just turn around and bend over. That's all I need from you. I like to say stuff like that every now and then, so that the feminazis and the femistatist in the audience get pissed off. Wait, I have no femistatist in my audience. Oh man, over on YouTube, I had some femistatist leave some comments on my podcast about the one about, which one was it? Damn it. What the hell was the name of it? I think it was entitled, yes, no, it wasn't that one. It was something about women should shut the fuck up and get back in the kitchen. Anyway, had some feminist, all right, hold on. Time out. My brain is getting ahead of my mouth. Deep breath. I have too much going on. All right. I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about that and I'm doing this. All right. A feminist left a bunch of comments on one of my videos. And she got engaged in a debate with one of my regular listeners over on YouTube. And so I will be doing a episode of Stating the Obvious, talking about their discussion at some point in the future. Okay, calm down. I just came off of ranting about, you know, fucking hippies who want permission from the government to smoke dope so they can pay taxes on it. I'm still a little bit worked up, and see, this is why I need to get the fuck out of the goddamn recording studio for a little while and go walk around and get some exercise and some fresh air. When we're finished recording this, I'm going for a walk. You're going to do the post-processing. I'm going to go for a walk. Oh, you heard me. Do not tell me that shit, woman. All right. Next up on this show, a while back, you will remember, because you're a regular listener, I talked about a newspaper article about the man named, and I mutilated his name, and I will again, Hiro Onoda, H-I-R-O-O, is his first name, O-N-O-D-A is his last name. He was a Japanese soldier who remained on an island believing the war was still going on for 30 years. They finally got him off the island, you know, convinced him the war was over, all this other stuff. And I talked about how this was a classic example of how statism not just destroys individual lives, but also retards social development. Because this man had such a level of, and you know, you can make value judgments on this if you want, and that's fine. I'm not saying that value judgments shouldn't be made, okay? But let's just try to look at it from as objective a perspective as possible and leave aside the war and the statism and all this other stuff. This is a man who is so devoted and single-mindedly devoted and passionate and determined to fulfill his role as a Japanese soldier, that he continued to live on this island for 30 years after the war ended, continuing to believe that the war was still going on, despite attempts to convince him and despite any evidence and yada, yada, yada. I mean, the amount of determination that he had to put into this in order to do what he did. Again, you could say it's misguided, it was misplaced, but yes, there's legitimate arguments to be made for all that. All I'm saying is think about if that kind of single-minded devotion and determination and willpower, what if that was applied to curing cancer? What if that was applied to providing clean drinking water for people in Africa where they don't have clean drinking water? Think of all the things. This is the opportunity cost. Think of the opportunity cost. Think of everything civilization and society and has lost. Because if he would have taken that effort, that energy, that determinism, and applied that to something beneficial, think what could have been accomplished. But instead, all of that was just destroyed. It was used for something as useless and stupid in the first place as war, when the war was actually happening. But even after the war was over, it was all just lost. I mean, it was just pissed down the fucking toilet. Think about everything, that the good things that could have been accomplished by this man with that amount of energy. Now, he wrote a book, which I finally read. It's called No Surrender, My 30-Year War. And I want to read some parts of this, because here's what fascinated me. And well, he's going to talk about it himself. So people left out there for him newspapers and magazines and photographs and all this other stuff in an attempt to convince him that the war was over. And eventually everybody else died. He was the last one left. But he started off with other troops, and for a while there were four of them, and then they were down to two. Excuse me. Then they were down to three. They went straight from four to two. They were four of them, then they went down to three of them, and then they went down to two, and then they went down to one because the other people kept getting killed. So, but at the time, there were two of them, at this point where I'm going to read this. Let me just read this. Listen to this. We read the newspapers through and through, right down to the little three-line want ads. As a matter of fact, the want ads were particularly interesting because they indicated what kind of work people were seeking and what kind of people were being sought. But time had stopped for us in 1944, and as we read, we kept finding items we could not understand at all. We were particularly puzzled by articles on foreign relations and military affairs. Sometimes, after we had read them several times, they still meant nothing. It was difficult to tell, for example, which countries are now on Japan's side and which were not. Putting together what we read in the newspapers and the bits and pieces of information or misinformation we had gleaned from the leaflets and the like, we formed a total picture of Japan and the war situation in 1959. Now, they've got this information coming at them. I should just keep reading instead of commenting right now. But I'm going to comment because it's what I do. Listen to, as I read, the way they take this information and how they twist it and hallucinate about it to make the information they have fit the perspective they want to force on the world. Listen as they take information that conflicts with their worldview and how they twist it to make it fit their worldview. Their worldview is that Japan is still at war. We knew that the great Japanese Empire had become a democratic Japan. We did not know when or how, but clearly there was now a democratic government, and the military organization had been reformed. It also appeared as though Japan was now engaged in cultural and economic relations with a large number of foreign countries. The Japanese government was still working for the establishment of the Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere, and the new army was still engaged in military conflict with America. The new army seemed to be a modernized version of the old army, and we supposed that it must have assumed responsibility for the defense of East Asia as a whole, China included. China was now a communist country under leadership of Mao Zedong, and there seemed little doubt but that Mao had come to power with the support of Japan. No doubt he was now cooperating with Japan to implement the co-prosperity sphere. Although there was nothing in the newspapers about this, it was only logical that the American Secret Service would have eliminated any mention of it in preparing the newspapers for us. We calculated that Japan would have found it advantageous to set Mao Zedong up as the leader of New China, because this would make the vast sums of money held by wealthy Chinese financiers available to Japan. We assumed that to secure Japan's support, Mao had agreed to drive the Americans and English out of China and to cooperate with the new Japanese army. Fundamentally, Japan and China were working for the same goal. It seemed only natural that they would have formed an alliance. We started speaking of this as the East Asia Co-Prosperity League, and we assumed that Man Chung-Ku was also an active member, contributing materially in the field of arms manufacture. Kuzoka is the other soldier who's there with him. Kuzoka asked, quote, "Do you suppose those are the only three countries in the league?" "No," I answered. "I would think that the eastern part of Siberia had by now broken away from the Soviet Union and joined the league." "Siberia?" he asked incredulously. "Why not? I should think that it would be only a matter of time until the White Russians in eastern Siberia would rebel against communist atheism and secede from the Soviet Union." than you think there might be an independent Siberia Christian Republic? Maybe you're right. It makes a good deal of sense. What about the southern regions? Java and Sumatra would have no doubt been liberated from Holland by now. I expect they too belong to the League. I remember that more than 24 of my fellow students at Fumata had been sent to Java to lead the Japanese troops there in guerrilla warfare. What about India? Asked Kuzoka. I'm destroying his name because I can't pronounce Japanese names. Sorry. Kozuka. Kozuka, I think, might be correct. I guess that it's independent from England now. Talking about India. What about India? Said Kuzuka. I guess that it's independent from England now, and that Chandra Bose is president or premier or whatever the head of the country is called. I can't decide whether I think it belongs to the League or not. What do you think? Well, my guess is that it's at least a friendly nation. Australia may still be holding out, but it shouldn't be too long before the Australians join us too. Anyway, that leaves us with East Siberia, Manchukuo, China, Java, and Sumatra all in the League supporting Japan in the war against America and England. The big question is, when will the Philippines split off from America and join our side? I think it's only a matter of time, I said confidently. And this just goes on as they read these newspapers and they create these elaborate fantasies to explain how the war is still going on. How the information in the newspapers is lies and propaganda. Which, alright, well, that's true. But the point is, as I'm reading this, and as I'm listening to Onoda on Onoda, Onoda, however, I'm fucking his name up. However you say his name, then I'm fucking up. As I'm reading him, reading his words, fuck! It's a good thing I'm a professional, right, Randy? I really know how to fucking talk when I've got a microphone in front of me. As I'm reading him write about all the ways they took this information and twisted it to fit the worldview they wanted to shove the world into, it reminds me, of course, of statists. Because you statists do exactly the same thing. Now, these guys out here on the island, isolated, you might say, well, but they were isolated, they didn't have any other outside information, so they're taking the small amount of information they have and they're trying to put it into context. Nobody does that today because, of course, we have the internet. We're so smart, we can Google things. The fact is, these two men, there are three when there are three of them, one when there is only one of them, were living in an echo chamber. The echo chamber had the worldview of Japan is at war with America. And everything that was shouted into the echo chamber just echoed off the walls of Japan is at war with America. The Americans are evil, the Japanese are great, yada, yada, yada. In the same way that they took this information and just twisted it with these delusions and hallucinations and fantasies to fit their worldview, you see the same thing. Talk to people who support Obama. Ask them, didn't Obama say that if you liked your health insurance plan, you could keep it? Well, of course he did. And yet all these people are losing their health insurance plans. And people who support Obamacare will outright tell you that's not happening. Or they'll tell you that Obama never said you could keep your plan. Or they'll tell you that's not what he meant. Obama clearly lied. George Bush, the first George Bush, no new taxes. Then he raised taxes. He clearly lied. Hardcore Republicans will make excuses because all of you people take the information you get and you twist it and you hallucinate about it. And you create these delusions so that you can get this to fit inside your echo chamber. The internet doesn't help, because if you say to somebody, I want you to do some research on Obamacare, somebody who is a Democrat, to do their research on Obamacare, they're going to go to MSNBC and they're going to go to the Brookings Institute. And they're going to get information about Obamacare from people who think Obamacare is the greatest thing ever. Their opinion will never be challenged. Confirmation bias is what it's called. If you find somebody who's opposed to Obamacare, you tell them do research on Obamacare, they're going to go to Fox News and they're going to go to Heritage Foundation. It's the echo chamber. You don't have to be out in a jungle, isolated, believing that the war is still going on in order to create hallucinations and fantasies and delusions in your mind about the way the world actually is. When you talk to any statist and you say to them, well, without the government, the people who build the roads would be the same fucking people that build the roads now. Construction companies that have road building equipment. But every statist has this delusional fantasy that they create in their mind. Well, no, without the government, nobody can build a road. Right? Without the government, the national forest won't exist. Trees don't grow without the government. We have to shut down the forest if the government runs out of money. This is all pure hallucination. It's pure hallucination. And these are people who have Google. They've got the internet. They've got their iPads and their iPods and their iFuckyous and their fucking cocks. You know, and... Humans have an incredible ability to hallucinate anything they need to hallucinate in order to keep their worldview from having to change. And this goes back to what I've said over and over and over. When people tell me, well, maybe you need to change. No. As I explain over and over and over, I've been there. I've been a fucking Christian. I've been an atheist. I've been a Republican. I've been a Democrat. I've been a socialist. I've been a conservative. I've been a liberal. I've been a progressive. My shit has changed. It's those of you who come to me and say, I've been a Democrat all my life. And those of you who listen to this podcast, you've heard this all before. Oh, you've been a Democrat all your life. That's awesome. You have the same worldview you had when you were 8 fucking years old. Oh, aren't you a goddamn intellectual giant? That's what I'm talking about. This man for 30 years continued to believe that there was a war going on that was over with. You people, I've been a Democrat all my life. I've been a Christian all my life. I've been a Republican all my life. You're a fucking idiot. For all of your life, you have been taking every piece of evidence of the world around you, every piece of evidence that says there's no invisible man in the sky, every piece of evidence that says the state is a failure, every piece of evidence that says the war on drugs is a failure and is responsible for the murder of countless people, every piece of evidence that says the war on terror is a fucking failure and can't be won as is stupid anyway, every piece of evidence that says the terrorists don't hate us for our freedom, the terrorists hate us because our government, our democratically elected government, is murdering people in their countries. You take all of this evidence and you just fucking ignore it. You twist it around and you mutilate it and you make it fit into your worldview. Why is it Obamacare isn't going to work? Well, it's because of those Republicans. We've been pumping shit tons, billions and billions and billions and billions of stars. Oh wait, that's Carl Sagan. Billions and billions and billions of dollars into the war on drugs, and you can still get marijuana on any fucking street corner. We pumped billions and billions and billions of dollars into the war on poverty. There's more poor people than ever. And asking, why are they? Well, it's because of Republicans. That is some twisted world. The Republicans are not causing poverty. If the fucking welfare can eliminate poverty, why is there still poverty? Do people take the information around you and you just hallucinate it into your worldview. And you sit there and go, well, who's going to build the roads? Roads, roads! But the trees can't grow if the government shuts down. We have to close the forest. Fuck. Randy, where are we on time? Shit. All right. I really want to go outside. Man, audience, I love you guys. I really want to fucking go outside right now. What's next on my list? I got that. The Outer Limits original TV series. Watched the first disc of the first season. It was okay. The episodes are a little long-winded. I just want to briefly touch. There was one episode called Obit, O-B-I-T, and it's about a device that allows you to tune in to the wavelengths of a, and to, you know, this is 1960 stuff. Don't expect real science here, okay? Just flow with me. They've got this device, and it's got a monitor, like a computer, like a screen on it, like a TV monitor. And they can tune it into a particular person's wavelength and see what that person is doing and hear what they're saying. And somebody was killed while using the device, and there's an investigation going on. There's a senator there conducting the investigation. And at one point, one of the people running, and so the senator doesn't know anything about this device. It's like top secret. And one of the people in charge of the Obit program says to the senator during the investigation, I'm not making this up, almost word for word, says to him, because the senator's like, well, don't you think this is dangerous for somebody to be able to see what other people are doing all the time and eavesdrop on them? And the guy says, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. Not making this up, my friends. Not making this up. Sound familiar? In the end of the episode, it is revealed that these devices were put here by aliens who are on their way to invade the planet Earth. And there's a whole bunch of these devices spread around. And the point behind the devices is that by allowing people in the people on the planet Earth, humans, to spy on each other from a distance in a way that can't be stopped, it will foment great distrust among humans, and that way when the aliens show up to invade us, it will make it harder for the humans to unite against the aliens and fight back. It's like, this was what? Oh god, I gotta do math. 50 years before the war on terror. Allowing the government to spy, you know, it's just like the Stasi in East Germany. Everybody spying on everybody. You can't trust anyone. We got that now. You see the fucking posters all over the place. If you see something, say something. Spy on your neighbor. I'm waiting for somebody to fucking turn me in for being an anarcho-capitalist. It's just really interesting. I found it interesting. The remake... God, I tried. So I also got the Outer Limits, the remake. I shouldn't say a remake, but when they reheated the series. I watched the first episode. It was fucking terrible. Watched the second episode. Terrible and predictable. And I did a lot of this watching with the fast forward button pushed because there was not enough going on that I actually needed to hear dialogue because they're really fucking shallow. I'm on the third one now. We'll see how long that lasts. All right. Thanks, Randy. You know that thing I needed to get? I forgot to get it. You guys, hold on a second. I got to go do this thing that Randy was supposed to remind me to do, but she didn't remind me because she's a girl, and it's always the girl's fault. Don't believe anything girls tell you. It's always their fault.
All right, hang on.
yeah. Whatever. Just don't give me any smack. Don't.
No.
No smack. Don't make me come in there. You will not like it. All right, I did Randy's job for her. Before I talk about that, I want to talk about this. This was a BBC series. It's approximately 180 minutes long. It is called In the Flesh. So when I got this, it's a zombie series. I think it's three episodes. So somebody gave me this to watch, and I was like, oh God, another fucking zombie movie. Because really, I think we're getting done with zombies. But I put it in anyway, because I'm like, alright, I'll take a chance on it. You know, fast forward button, eject button, I can suffer through anything. So I started watching. Alright, here's what's going on. It's in England, there's zombies. The zombie outbreak has been contained. And they can take people who are zombies, and by pumping medication into them, and you have to pump the medication in every day through a hole in their backs, right into their spinal column, you can restore them, you can restore their brain so that they are them again. They're not a zombie trying to eat people. Their body is still dead, but they're not, their consciousness is back. So I'm watching this, I'm going, okay, this is an interesting thesis. This is different, at least. So the government, of course, because, I mean, you know, if it weren't for the government, who would rejuvenate the zombies, right? The government is collecting zombies and processing them with the drugs and everything, and then restoring them to who they are and shipping them back home. And our story follows this young man named Kiernan Walker. So Kiernan comes back home to his small town in England. He's a zombie, he's dead, but he's getting his medication, so he's mostly okay now. But they have flashbacks and stuff like that. I'm like, interesting. Okay. The people are, of course, becoming polarized. Some people are willing to accept the zombified people back into society. Other individuals are not interested in letting the zombified people back into society. At this point, it becomes fairly clear that what's going on here is that the zombies are they're an analogy. I need to look up analogy and allegory to make sure I'm using my words right. They're an analogy to discrimination, right? It's like, oh, we can't let black people in the diner. We can't let the zombies in the diner. So the zombies are being discriminated against. They're a minority group. It's political correctness. So at this point, now I'm going, oh, good fucking God, political correctness disguised as a zombie movie. All right. Things move forth. The town that Kiernan comes from, that he goes back to, his parents are there, he's got a sister. This town was a town where the first human defense something something, basically it was some people who, instead of waiting for the government, imagine this, instead of waiting for the government to come save them from the zombies, they got guns and stuff and they fought back against the zombies. They're like, called themselves the Zombie Defense League or something like that. Anyway, this town was where the first group of people banded together and called themselves that and started fighting back, and then it spread. And the person who started it was this ex-military guy who hates the zombies who are coming, being brought back to life, the rejuvenated zombies, we will call them. So he's kind of like the leader of the Ku Klux Klan, except he doesn't hate black people, he hates the zombies, and he wants to ban them and keep them out of town, and he thinks they should be killed and all this other stuff. Things progress, and we find out that I'm going to refer to him as the Ku Klux Klan guy because I don't remember anybody else's name. So the KKK guy It turns out he has a son who was killed in Afghanistan in the war. Well, they found his dead son as a zombie. They rejuvenated his dead son, and now they're sending him back home to his father, who hates the rejuvenated zombies. So now, as you might guess, we have a little moral dilemma. Now, by about this point, and there's a little political correctness in here, but not much, actually. I forgot to mention, you know, it's critical when I tell a story that I put relevant details up front. So as I saw what was going on initially with the, oh, zombies are a minority, yada, 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 I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the biggest fucking piece of shit ever. And I essentially kept watching it, and I actually started taking notes, which I don't have anymore, because I was going to ridicule and make fun. I was going to do an entire episode ripping this TV show a new asshole for its political correctness. So I was 100% prepared for the worst. Okay, so we went through a little bump there where it started to nauseate me. And then it started getting good. The characters were developing. And I have in my notes to talk about this. I'll talk about this later. The characters were developing. The dialogue was well written. People were believable. And it was really starting to come together, to my surprise. And again, this is why, you know, the echo chamber, those of you who only expose yourself to shit that you already know you're going to like, right? I only read books written by Democrats. I only read books written by Republicans. I only believe what Obama says. I only believe what Sarah Palin says. You know, those of you who go through the world with this preconceived notion of what you're going to like and don't like, and you only expose yourself to things that have been approved of by the particular slave master that you worship. This is why you people will always be losers. You will always be losers. You will never be able to change or expand your worldview. You will never be able to encompass greater understanding of the cosmos, because you are only allowed by yourself to expose yourself to that which has been approved of by your particular slave masters. This was a TV series that 5 minutes into it, I was totally prepared to hate this and call it a giant piece of liberal propaganda bullshit. I was totally prepared to wipe my ass with this thing, but I stuck it out. Because I was willing to expose myself to something that I knew, and at the time I knew I was not going to like this series. Okay, so the KKK guy, his son comes home as a zombie. The KKK guy, much like you, goes into this complete state of denial. He just creates this illusion worldview that even though his son is standing in front of him, a dead zombie, brought back to life, rejuvenated, whatever we want to call it, he creates this delusion in which his son never died and was never a zombie. Just like the guy, even though he saw newspapers indicating Japan's no longer at war, he created this hallucination in his mind that the war was still going on. So the KKK guy is hallucinating that his son is not really a zombie. Now at this point, we will call him Afghanistan guy because I don't remember his name. The son of the KKK guy who died in Afghanistan, came back as a zombie, now a rejuvenated zombie. All right, it turns out that Kiernan, I only know Kiernan's name is Kiernan because I have the DVD right here in front of me and his name is on it. The zombie teenager Kiernan Walker isn't comfortable in his undead state. He didn't want to come back. He wanted to be dead. And he wanted to be dead because he remembered killing people as a zombie and he feels really guilty about it. Again, a little bit of white guilt, right? That's the play. That's the other, you know, the zombies are the minorities, the white people are oppressing them, but oh, he feels guilty about killing people. Even though it was under his control, that's the white guilt here in the United States. Everybody, oh, I feel so guilty about black people. Oh, I'm sorry, did you bring any slaves over? I didn't bring any slaves over. I've never owned any slaves, never sold any. I don't feel guilty about black people at all. You want to talk about black white guilt? Why don't you go talk to the politicians who run the welfare system? I have no white guilt. I have no fucking white guilt about black people, American Indians, any other motherfucker. Zero white guilt. I've never killed an Indian. The government did. The government that you support, the government that you obey, the government that you worship, that government killed American Indians. Killed a whole fucking shitload of them. You should feel guilty because you support the people who murdered the Indians. I don't. So we got the white guilt, we got minority status, blah, blah, blah. I'm prepared to hate this thing. All right. It turns out, get ready for this, it turns out that Kiernan, an Afghanistan guy, were both. Okay. That they were in love with each other. Let me say it for you again. Kiernan Walker, before he was a zombie, when he was a living man, and the Afghanistan dude, before he was a zombie, when he was a man, they were in love with each other. Homosexual zombies. Just let that sink in for a moment. You heard me correctly. Let me say that again. I'm sitting here, I'm watching this, everything's going great, and suddenly, right there on my TV screen in front of me, homosexual zombies. And you know what? It was very skillfully done. Remember now, you're listening to the person who screams about how the homosexuals should shut the fuck up about wanting to legalize gay marriage because they shouldn't need permission from the government to get married. You're listening to a person who has ripped homosexuals a new asshole countless times over the 9 fucking years I've done this podcast. The word homosexual was never used. This is important. This has nothing to do with it. This could be about anything. So just fucking, if you're a GLBT, ear B7439 sled, PC, whatever the fuck, you know. I'm an ally. Oh, I'm straight against hate. Yeah, you're not straight. Shut the fuck up. All right. No, there's a lot of things about you homosexuals out there I don't like, but just shut the fuck up and listen, because I'm trying to fucking teach you something. I'm trying to fucking teach you something, along with teach you that you don't need permission from the government to get married, but you're such fucking slaves that you just can't give up your attachment to Obama's ballsack. It became clear through the dialogue that they had been in love with each other. Well, and still were in love with each other. The word homosexual was never used. It was never overt. It was never in your face. And I don't mean that as being homosexual in your face is bad. Here's the context I mean that in. In writing, and you've all seen this. You've read this in books. You've seen this in movies. You've seen it on TV. Excessive exposition. Why, hello, George. Where have you been? Well, hi, Bob. I was at your house, you know, the new house that you just bought, where your mother is living now after you moved her here from Orange County? Oh, why, yes, that's right. I do remember moving her from Orange County over here. We had to drive 5 days in a U-Haul truck. And I remember, yeah, that kind of exposition where the author, through the characters, is telling you background information, but doing it in this way that no human being on the planet Earth would ever actually talk in real life. That's what I'm talking about. The entire fact that they were in love with each other, and this had caused tension, because obviously the KKK guy, in addition to not liking zombies, was homophobic. of course, again, not afraid of homosexuals. I'm not afraid of homosexuals. I just want you to shut the fuck up and stop being slaves and stop voting for people who want me to die. I don't afraid of you. I just want you to shut the fuck up. So homophobic is not a really a good word for me to use. But anyhow, the KKK guy didn't like homosexuals, and his son's a homosexual, and he didn't like zombies, and his son is a zombie. He's kind of in a little bit of deep shit right now. He's got some issues, as they would say, that he needs to deal with. But the point is, this is critical, because if they just would have taken the homosexual zombie shit and just shoved it in the face of the viewer, and there's a couple of times in this series where they poked fun at the state. There is some stuff in here where the government got kicked. Well, all this is building up to is I'm going to tell you, you should watch this series. Again, it's called In the Flesh. You should watch this. The dialogue was really well written. It was very subtle. The conflict here that comes from both of them being homosexual and the problems that caused in this small English community with the KKK guy being an asshole, all of this was explored very powerfully and very realistically. And it was good. I mean, if this had been done wrong, you know, we've got the white guilt, we've got the zombies are minorities, and now we've got homosexual zombies. If this had been done wrong, this could have been just fucking terrible beyond words. And yet, it was written really, really well. I mean, really well written. I'm not going to tell you what happens in the end, because I really do think this is worth investing 3 hours of your life. It's a good example of television done well. It's like Spartacus. So I want to talk about what I was going to sidetrack onto earlier about the character development and everything. So this is the big problem. These are the two big problems with most television, is the dialogue is not natural. And the dialogue in this series is very natural. And the other thing is there's no character development. People don't change. In real life, people don't change, but people do change. We develop over time, right? What you want when you're 20 years old is different than what you want when you're 30 years old is different than who you are when you're 40 years old, yada, 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 yada. In TV series, like the original Star Trek, which I love with a passion, but original Star Trek, every episode happens, and at the end of the episode, it's like the reset button is pushed, and there's never any character development. And doing that character development is important. Doing the character development and having the characters change and creating realistic characters who have strengths and weaknesses and all these other things, this is hard stuff. This is difficult writing. You look at series that have done this well. X-Files did this well. Dana Scully started out believing Mulder was a crackpot and spying on him and all this other stuff, and in the end she became a believer. You look at Spartacus. Spartacus, great character development. Like Spartacus shows up, he's all rebelling, then Buddy Attis says, oh, I'm going to bring you your wife, and then you know he's all happy and his wife is coming, and then his wife dies and he's like, oh, Buddy Attis, I'm pissed off, I'll just be your puppy dog now forever. And then Spartacus finds out that Buddy Attis killed his wife so that Spartacus would be obedient, and then Spartacus transforms again and says, now I'm going to fuck your world up. Right? Character development changes. Look at Babylon 5. Character development changes. Malari, just through the series, he starts as this nobody nothing backwater ambassador and ends up the fucking emperor of his empire. Character development changes. These things actually are seen in this series, and it's really well done. I've already said that. I've said that like 1,000 fucking times. Hey, let me just stand here and repeat myself over and over and over and pretend I'm podcasting. Yes, because that's what the fuck I do. Homosexual zombies. I mean, you can make fun of that a lot. If that was not handled well, it would be, you know, people like me would just be ripping it a new asshole. But I'm not. I'm sitting here telling you that it's well written, the dialogue is great, the characters are interesting, you should watch the TV series called In the Flesh, even though it's about homosexual zombies. If this had not been done right, you would have gotten an entire episode of stating the obvious, of me just ripping this thing a new asshole. And I'm almost out of time. I'm not going to be able to talk about everything else I wanted to talk about, probably. Let's see if I can do this. Alien 3, the worst movie in the Alien. I know Alien Resurrection was bad too, but as I recall, the special effects were pretty good. The aliens good. All right, Alien 3. Apparently, there is a longer version, the one that they originally put together, but then didn't get released. I watched it. It's not any better, trust me, but it does explain one thing. In the original release, the original version of Alien 3, the chest burster comes out of a yak. Y-A-K, a yak. In the theatrical release, the chest burster comes out of a dog. And when you're watching it and you see the chest burster come out of the dog, the chest burster is like the size of the fucking dog. And you're wondering, how in the fuck was that inside the dog? There's no way in hell. That's why, because in the original series, it was inside of a yak. But when they recut it, they just did put in the dog, but they kept everything else. The other thing about Alien 3 is the CGI. My God, the CGI for the alien was fucking terrible. It's amazing to me that the original Alien movie made in 1979, and then Aliens made whenever that was made, the special effects in those, before CGI, was just flawless. Almost flawless. As I said before, Ash in original Alien, when his head is detached and everything, you could tell that was faker than shit. But the alien itself, the aliens, they were amazing. In Alien 3, the fucking CGI alien was a goddamn joke. Oh my God. It was fucking terrible. Don't watch the director's cut, original cut, whatever you want to call it. Original cut would be more accurate. Don't waste your time watching the original cut of Alien 3. It's, trust me, it's really not worth it. It was terrible. And yeah, there it is, man. It's Randy, how far are we from the music? I just want to go outside. Just hit the music. Let's do this. I didn't get through everything on the list. I got through almost everything on the list. The thing that I had to go down and get that I forgot and let Randy let me forget because it's her fault because she's a girl. Didn't get to that. I'll talk about that next time. It's about the really gay high guy who's like, yeah, man, the earth is a living organism. They said it. The earth is a cell. The earth is like a living cell. Oh, it's Mother Earth. Oh, I'm so hippie. I'm going to smoke another joint. And then I want to suck some cock because I'm a homosexual zombie.